The Inner Voice Show is a dialogue between the host and the listeners about their relationships. This show is not an attempt to assess, diagnose, or treat any mental health or illness condition. Please consult your physician, psychiatrist, or psychotherapist for personal matters.
Inner Voice. A heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Welcome to the Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain and have Sean in studio. Now, this is a show about what matters most in life. Our mind, thoughts, feelings, actions, relationships, and our fulfillment in this beautiful journey of life. Now, in this show, I'll bring you the latest research on generosity. Yes, for Christmas, generosity. That's what we are, who we are as human beings, and we'll talk about it. And then I will talk to Sister Dr. Jenna, spiritual leader, author, radio and TV personality, and my great friend. And I'm so honored to have her with me. And you can call us on the studio line to talk to us. I'm Dr. Sister Jenna at 951-922-3532. It is so beautiful to be with all of you in this beautiful time. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice, Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian has a direct approach to getting you to free your mind. Inner Voice is a live call-in show where you can chat about your life and all that matters to you in your relationships. Inner Voice, Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian, Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk, KMET, 1490 AM, and on the Internet Stream.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fujian Zain. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want. You deserve it.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe.
Happy holidays. Holidays and Merry Christmas to everyone. Let's talk about the science of generosity. It's a white paper by the Greater Good Science Center at UC Berkeley. Humans are generous species. That statement seems to fly in the face of decades of research and centuries of conventional wisdom equating human nature with selfishness and aggression. Yet in recent years, a more complex and nuanced understanding of human nature has emerged. While studies no doubt suggest that humans have prosperity for self-interest, and these studies have drawn understandable attention, the research has also revealed that currents of generosity has also run deep through us. Indeed, generosity has its root not just in our individual development, but also in our very biology and evolutionary history. Species as diverse as bees, birds, bats, rats, and chimpanzees all exhibit form of generosities. or what can be broadly described as pro-social behavior. Acts that benefits others, actually. Now, the broad occurrence of generosity across species suggests that generosity may be an evolutionary adaptation that has helped promote the survival of these species and our own. Sure enough, a host of studies have uncovered evidence that humans are biologically wired for generosity. Acting generously activates the same reward pathways that is activated by sex and food, a correlation that may help to explain why giving and helping feels good, as well as provide further evidence for the idea that pro-social activity has been an important evolutionary adaptation. Now, further evidence of the deep roots of human generosity comes from studies finding consistent displays of generosity among young children, even young toddlers. Children appear to have an innate drive to cooperate and to help others, but that this drive is tempered as children grow older and their giving behavior become more selective and nuanced. Now, giving social support, time, effort, or goods is associated with better overall health in older adults, and volunteering is associated with delayed mortality. Actually, a lot of doctors at this point are prescribing volunteerism for elderly. Generosity appears to have especially strong associations with psychological health and well-being. For example, a meta-analysis of 37 studies for older adults found that those who volunteered reported greater quality of life, and another study found that frequent helpers reported feeling greater vitality and self-esteem, only if they chose to help with their own accord. Now, some studies have found that people are happier when spending money on others than on themselves, although I do that well when I'm doing it for me too, but, and this happiness motivates them to be generous in the future. And even small acts of kindness, like picking up something someone else has dropped, makes people feel happy, act of service. Generosity is also associated with benefits in the workplace, such as reducing the likelihood of job burnout, and in relationships where it is associated with more contentment and a longer lasting romantic relationships. Definitely, romantic relationships needs a lot of generosity. Why does generosity make us happy? Well, according to self-determination theories, humans depend on satisfying three basic needs for optimal psychological well-being: relatedness, competence, and autonomy. Now, research on the connection between spending money on others and happiness suggests that giving scenarios that help people satisfy these needs result in the most happiness for the giver. People are happiest when their giving is coupled with their social connection, which is relatedness, such as by not only buying a treat for a friend, but also getting to spend time with the friend while she enjoys it, when they're given explicit information about how their donation was used, which is competence, and when they're free to choose how much they want to give and how they want to give. Is it an act of service or money and all of that, which promotes their autonomy. So people who routinely help others, perform act of kindness, volunteer or donate to charities may develop positive reputations, which in turn could lead others to reciprocate with more generosity, appreciation, and gratitude. Generous acts may also change the way people view the world, making them value cooperation, interdependence, and their own good fortune. Here you go. When is the better time than Christmas and these holidays, any holiday that you actually celebrate, to give, be generous with your time, and most of all, with yourself and who you are as love. And we'll be right back with Sister Dr. Jenna, who's a spiritual leader, author, radio, and TV personality. It is such an honor to have her, especially today.
Thank you.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fushan. Dr. Fushan has a direct approach to getting you to free your mind. Inner Voice is a live call-in show where you can chat about your life and all that matters to you in your relationships. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fushan, Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk, KMET, 1490 AM, and on the Internet Stream.
Hello, listeners. This is Christopher from The Christopher Show. Hey, if you miss one of our shows here at KMET, don't worry about it. You can go to our webpage, and that's KMET1490AM.com. Go to the homepage, click on the SoundCloud tab, and hear any show anytime you want.
Dr. Fujian Zane is a psychotherapist, a marriage and family therapist, and a life coach with more than 27 years of experience. She is the author of the Awareness Integration Model, which has been researched and published in numerous international journals. Dr. Fujian has offices in Beverly Hills, Irvine, and Woodland Hills, California, and also consults online and by telephone. Make an appointment with her today by calling 818-648-2140 or go online to www.fujian.com. That's www.fujian.com.
Take KMET 1490 AM with you everywhere you go by downloading our free smartphone apps found on the KMET website, KMET1490AM.com. You can also go to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store on your phone to download the free app. Now you can listen live or play any of your favorite programmers' podcasts using your smartphone. Don't miss out on the free KMET smartphone apps. Go to KMET1490AM.com and download your free phone app today.
Feliz Navidad.
I wish I could sing.
Obviously, nobody wants to hear me. Welcome back. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Yay, it's Christmas.
Sister Dr. Jenna is with me. For all of you who don't know her, you've got to meet her. She is a spiritual leader, author, radio and TV personality, renowned speaker and founder of the Meditation Museum in Maryland, Virginia. She serves as one of the evolutionary leaders in service to consciousness evolution and was selected by Empower a Billion Women 2020 as one of 100 most influential leaders of 2015. She is an advisory member of the Million Mamas Movement, Conscious Good Media, and Global Women's Network. Sister Dr. Jenna also serves as the principal partner with the Oprah Winfrey Network and values partnership on the Belief Team, a community of individuals from diverse spiritual, cultural, and faith backgrounds, and was awarded an honorary doctor of human letters for her many years of dedication and service to humanity. She is a contributing author in the book, Mr. President, Interfaith Perspectives on the Historic Presidency of Barack Obama.
And don't we miss him?
Oh, God. Yes, I was actually listening to the book from Michelle Obama, and I'm like, I miss them so much. So you are also your mission is to decode critical current issues and offer a perspective for folks to find clarity, power, and insight. And your voice of influence, and yes, voice of influence, I'm telling all of you, is particularly needed in the wake of tragedy and increasing violence in the world. I know you have traveled over 80 countries where you've continued to provide practical life tools and solutions that empower people to foster and build stronger relationships. You are wisdom, peace, and compassion for humanity.
Thank you.
You truly are. Don't make me cry again. You know, every time I look at you, I start crying. And you do express it through different variety of initiatives and for youth, women, government, and communities, and collaborated with Fortune 500 companies on key issues, and especially in your syndicated radio show where I met you first, America Meditating. Yes. which is a global online show. Numerous awards, proclamations, including President's Lifetime National Community Service Award, Everyday Hero Award by the Foundation of Better Life, and the Friendship Arcway Awards, just to name a few. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. And Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm so glad that you're taking the time to tune into this conversation, because as we roll into Christmas, we want to bring the best of ourselves forward, because we're going to be with a lot of family members. Some of them we like, some of them we want to like, some of them we love, you know.
Some of them we tolerate.
Right? So it's great to be with you, Pujan. Yeah. Always a delight.
And hello, Happy.
Happy. Yeah, she was just chewing up the Christmas lights. I just left them for her to feel comfortable.
So you have given me this beautiful, which we brought Baba, and I wanted to ask you to talk about, you were a pioneer, a woman of wisdom, someone who loves laughter, and founder of and the director of the Washington, D.C. branch of the Brahma Kumaris in 2017. Yeah, and the Brahma Kumaris celebrated 20 years. I was there, and it was such an amazing, amazing anniversary in Washington. Yes. Tell us a little about Brahma Kumaris, because it's also a woman-led spiritual global movement.
Yeah. I got involved with the Brahma Kumaris when I was 17 through the connection of my mother and my stepfather. They went to a program to listen to Daddy Janki, who you met, who's 103 now, and it was in Miami, Florida at the time, many, many, many years ago. And when I saw my parents changing before my eyes, especially in the first 6 months, my mother, as you know, came from a very, very traumatic childhood, being orphaned, abused, abandoned. It was a rough life for her growing up. And so I saw how she became just so calm. Now, she was a Rastafarian at one time. She had converted to Judaism, which nobody ever does. She had, you know, she was a Roman Catholic. She had gurus. She was in Islam. So I just thought it's just a matter of time till she shifts out of this. But after 6 months, everyone, she just became the soothing, calm person. And so I thought, whatever she's learning there at the Brahma Kumaris, it's good for her. But I knew that this was nowhere going to be my path, because they were like becoming vegetarians. I was like, please, that's for the birds.
And then I'm not giving up bacon.
So they became vegetarians. They became celibate. They were waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. They were doing all these weird things, right? So I was clear, this is not going to work for me. But in my 20s, I started to have these downloads or uploads or just a beautiful experience of God as an energy, not as a religion. So I started to feel this energy of God that was coming through the quality of love or peace or purity. And I went, oh, this is it. This is it. And so when I came to study more and get involved with the Brahma Kumaris, I've learned that the origin of the founder, Brahma Baba, was quite similar. He had a download too, and it was people outside that were telling him, you're different. There's a lot of light around you. And he didn't know what it was. So the whole philosophy and the teachings of the Brahma Kumaris is to consider yourself to be a soul, and that's a quality of awareness, and then connect that awareness to a higher level, which is to God, so that you can feel the flood of God's energy, and then begin to perform actions, karma, that have a great deal of meaning. So the whole organization is wired that way. And as you met everyone, we were in India this year, and you could see everyone has found their purpose. So you couldn't even pinpoint who's the leader of this organization, because everyone knows what their inner leadership is now because of their connection to Source. It's a wonderful organization, everyone. I've been involved now for 37 years, but my personal spiritual effort in the organization has been about 26, 27. I don't count my years as a teenager.
I know my own experience was like heaven on earth. It was where the utmost level of human potential could exist as who we are, who we really are, and who we choose to be. Yeah. And there's just this beauty. And I know that every time I've been around you or Sister Gita, your mom, is this kind of just peace and love and wisdom. It's exuberant. It's just there to be received received by anyone who's around you. And that to me is also the essence of generosity, which we were talking about before you came on. That level of generosity and just pouring out is just like you, who you are comes out. And that's the beauty.
I think the more we fill ourselves up with this energy of source, which is the qualities, whether you're Jewish, Muslim, Christian, or even an atheist, we're all entitled to carry the experience of the source energy in our personality. But it's been drained. It's been drained.
Yes. Yes, it has. Now, you were a pioneer also in creating the Meditation Museum, and you in Washington, and you have two in the metropolitan area. And it seems like it is also very important for you to be in Washington. And when I've come to visit you, it's very clear that that is a very important city to obviously have that type of wisdom and peace and love. Can you talk a little bit about the museum?
Sure. We opened up the concept of the Meditation Museum along with my very, very close friend, excuse me, from the Fulbright Scholarship family, Harriet Fulbright. And Harriet looked at me and said, "Sister Jenna, if this Meditation Museum makes it in Washington, know that your work is good." And it has. It's been almost 10 years. And we basically have designed the museum in a way that anybody who walks in can feel themselves, feel a higher version of themselves, to be able to relate to a more inclusive dimension of their existence. So it has artwork, installations, and exhibits that are basically about soul, God, karma. Have we been here before? Is life cyclical or is it linear? What are the powers that we just need to recognize in ourselves? And, you know, are virtues that important? But we also have a cute part of the Meditation Museum. The one in Silver Spring is a meditation cafe. And it's my intention to be able to begin to open up more meditation cafes in the city, because I think we're going to need to have a space that we can just rest our spirit and feel safe. And so we've already been looking into branding that idea. So nobody can brand it. I've already said it. So you can't do it. And you know what, everyone? When I was first in Washington stationed, my service was to many, many leaders. So going into the White House and those things are very common for me. And this year when I went into the White House, which is a completely different White House than we've ever been in before, I could feel there was a void. But at the same token, while I was there, I was very clear that despite however things are, we still have to bring the best of ourselves forward, which is why we can't and we mustn't and we have to reduce the personality of judgment from our nature.
And I remember being at the meditation hall, going into the actual meditating room and your home of the meditating room. And I've never had this experience that I've meditated for a long time, but I always had issues of just kind of like staying into the meditation. You know, I kind of like jolt out of it. And it was very interesting that in the meditation room, in the, both the places at the house and the center and the museum, there's this part that just takes you in very deep, very quickly, and holds you in this beautiful depth for a long time. And that to me is also the space you have created, Brahma Kumaris has created, with the concept of the Raja Yoga and that type of meditation, where it's not just sitting and allowing my thoughts to come and go wherever they are, but they're also very intentional meditations and an intentional space. Can you talk a bit about that, please?
Absolutely. One of the reasons why over 9,000 of the meditation centers in 120 countries, they have the sisters or the brothers living inside of those spaces. And they live a very disciplined life, and they are very consistent in their disciplines and their practices, so that the walls begin to, you know, vibrate the energy of their pure thoughts and pure thinking and pure choices, pure actions. So you walk into a nightclub and you can feel the vibrations of a nightclub, right? And you walk into a meditation room where individuals are sitting there intentionally, you know, optimizing their energy, intentionally wanting to live a life of meaning intentionally wanting to bring God's presence and qualities forward. So anyone who walks into the spaces, that's exactly what they come into. And that's what most of the centers really are places that anyone can come into and just feel that. I mean, we don't set it up. It's not there, oh, I'm going to put Fujian in Baba's meditation room so she can just zolt out of her body and have a powerful experience. Mm-hmm. It's based on where you have been in your journey, that when your energy comes into the energy of peace and purity, what work happens is your own. It becomes your own gift. And so I think God's light and, of course, Brahma Baba's subtle presence in this whole scheme of things, I think it's just helping to move us gently forward. And I think that's what the world needs, Fujian. We need to meet people like you, people like so many of us that we were in India together for the America Meditating Fifth Retreat. We need to be around people that are sacred and intention and we can trust and we can feel comfortable with. That's what the world doesn't have much anymore. So I was telling you, when I went into this White House of this year, it was like I just knew we have to bring that light there because it was a different energy than the ones that I visited in the past.
Can you set up a meditation room in the White House, please?
I would love that. I would love that so much.
Yeah, so we could vote for that, please. Can we put a deep meditation room there so it does create that peace and love?
And everyone, whoever follows the news with what's going on in the nation's capital, please check your judgment quotient because I have been. I pull in that energy if I go, oh my God, what did they do now? That just hurts. Rather than they have to do what they have to do, but I'm going to bring goodness to this energy because no one else is helping. And so we have to keep sending our pure wishes or else we're all going to perish together. And so whatever is happening at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, we all need to galvanize our energies and be the best that we can to push that whatever is going on outside so we can, I don't know, live a little bit more happily. It's Christmas. We should be happy.
Yes. I know that for me, what I do with the news a lot of times is that I do get, like any other human being, the fear because I think that the news allows us and portrays only what may be wrong at that time. So it creates that type of, an anxiety. Off. Yeah. And there's two things. Like, is there anything I can do? And then go ahead and do. And if there isn't, just to trust like the humanity and the wisdom of the humanity that at some point we all are going to be together and get it and move through it and just hold that type of thought and heart and energy around all of it so that we could kind of pass through. And also to remember that there are people around me, many, many people who might have a different opinion than me. And they have also created what exists. What has existed right now is not happening in a vacuum. There are people who actually do believe in to hear together, to listen to each other's point of view, to understand and to see with all of it and be able to come together into that inclusion. I know your first CD was inclusion. So it's that's still the thought of bringing everybody together in that sense with that love and peace.
Yeah. And you know what, everyone, it's important that we push ourselves into the unknown and also try to see what things are coming up from the soul, because everything is recorded here inside that little energy behind our eyes. And it's a very interesting time. And we should be celebrating being alive at this time and to be consciously either waking up or staying awake. And I'll tell you why. When everything is working out well for you and everything is easy, you start to lose a sense of your purpose. You start to lose a sense of vitality because everything is set. So the fact that everything is juggling, you know, and just shifting, the stock market is the lowest it's been in a long time. We've got nobody for the Department of Defense currently. There's this, they're shifting. There's no one, the chief of staff. There's a lot going on. Now that's when you say, oh my gosh, so where are my gifts? You know, what do I bring now to my country and to my world? Because I can guarantee this to everyone. And Fujian, you know better than anyone too. Anything that affects the person next to me, a stranger 10 houses down the road, It's going to affect all of us. We're all in this together. And until we can understand that deep-rooted philosophy of karma, that we're in this together. You mentioned that CD I did 2 years ago when I was so affected by the outcome of the betrayal of my humanity. I went back to our constitution. I went back to our preamble. I looked at what E Pluribus Unums and the words meant, and I did a meditation CD on that called Inclusion Revolution. I did that for my own healing. What do these words mean that our founding fathers had created for us? And that's what that meditation was all about, that. Yeah. But now my new CD, Your Inner World, I'm like, eh. Okay, next. So here's what we do now. You know what? We got to go in and find out what's going on. Yeah. Where are we?
But what I also love about you is that I've worked obviously with a lot of spiritual leaders. You know, for the past 10 years, I've also put my head into every aspect of whatever you could imagine, from channelings and, you know, going into reservations and, you know, Native American reservations from everywhere you could ever imagine, you know, taking crystals out of my, whatever you could imagine I've done. But one of the things that I really like about you, which is you don't take spirituality on top of the mountain and leave it there. You don't take spirituality and only into the meditation space of your own world. You take spirituality from the top of the mountain and the meditation, and then you take it every day out there and connect with people's heart, people's mind, people's judgment, people's hurt, and the politicians, and not only to the U.S., everywhere around the world. And this is what also Brahmas Kumaris does. And to me, that's the beauty, is to bringing the two together, mm-hmm. and allowing conscientiousness and consciousness of the humanity to bring this part together, that yes, we can be selfish, well, we can be self-serving, but we need each other. We can't just be self-serving. And that need that we have for each other to survive, because we're, you know, we're a species, that we're a herd. We're not panda bears. We don't survive on our own. So this way of being together, then it needs that taking care of each other in that way. And this is what I think I've seen that is very unique with you. You're out there very, very assertively putting yourself out there, putting your words out there. And whether it's the film, whether it's music, whether it's documentary film, whether it's your radio show, whether it's going into the Senate, when it's going into talking to the consulates, American consulates around the world, going into India, going into London. You are out there, women, and I love it.
Well, you know what? Baba has not limited our capacity or our potential. And we're not back in the days of BCs, you know? We're not there. We're awakening. And technology has pulled a lot of our attention outside of ourselves. And so it's creating like a different sort of interpretation or the way that we're viewing ourselves and each other. But whenever we do this us and them, and whenever it's about that, or we blame, or we criticize, or we judge, or we compare, what's my three C's? Compare, criticize, and complain about people. It creates in our eyes this energy of not full love. And I feel like the moment you meet somebody, you can know how that person has been living their lives through their eyes. Either that your eyes are bestowing what you have done up here, and how you've served humanity selflessly, or your eyes will show that you're still a little bit in and out. And I've felt mine like that too at times. So I think that the kind of spirituality that we've, you know, that we teach in the teachings of the Brahma Kumaris, it doesn't hold anyone like you're there. It's like, come on, God's energy is here. Take it in you. You know, your beauty and your divinity has been drained because of algae. Remember algae? A for anger, L for lust, G for greed, A for attachment, and E for ego. So algae has drained my power. So I can be at Capitol Hill. I can be in a dungeon. I can be on the homeless streets of California and helping people. They're all God's children. The question is, am I carrying my truth in those environments? And so I think real spirituality will move us away from comparing, criticizing, complaining, judging people, and really bringing that essence of yourself forward. Now, it's a rough time, but it's also a good time.
Yes.
So we can do a lot of fixing up within ourselves, and we can also contribute a lot to humanity now.
Yes. And part of your next movement and contribution is to also looking at how do you heal the hurt? Because I think that every single human being at one point or another does get hurt, whether it was intentional or accidental, or it was done by a trauma. I think that everyone at one point gets hurt, and somehow some of the hurt we let go, and some of the hurt we insist on holding. And, you know, we've seen this latest, the Me Too movement, where also people are coming up, talking about it. The women are raising their voice and saying, I was hurt, and stop it.
Yeah.
And in different ways, you know, people are talking and allowing the hurt to be talked about. And sometimes even through their anger, they just shout out and they're angry. Sometimes they are not taking care of themselves, and whatever it was hurt, now it comes in the form of violence and it hurts others, and it creates and continues this type of a domino effect of consistently wounding each other, whether it's the different religious groups wounding each other, different ideologies, different you know, countries, they're hurting each other. And let's talk about the hurt. So that you could heal it. And I know that you're beginning to go around the world. Talk about it.
Yeah, I was having a breakfast with my staff a little bit over a month ago. And the conversation started about the divisiveness in America between Black America and White America. And where I started a conversation about what can we do to fix this, I ended up finding out I've got hurts. And I saw myself going back to my 20s, when I ended up in a very strong environment with a lot of strong personalities, and who I was, and I thought I was quite accomplished. I'd already made my millions. I had 3 luxury cars. I closed down my nightclubs. I was no longer going to get married to the guy who was the son of the prime minister. So there was a lot going on for me. And I thought that I had come into this new space with lots of swag. You know, I got this. And nobody wanted any of my swags. They were like, excuse me, that's not needed here. And it was so painful, the rejection that I felt. Yeah. And the way that I was spoken to and the way that I was treated. But there was something that protected me, because as much as I felt, but this is me, look, I'm telling you, this worked, right? There was this quiet whisper from God that said, but there is a better version of you eating. I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't know how I was going to get there, everyone. But I trusted, because the sound was so true, that there was a better me waiting. And I didn't have to force my agenda. I didn't have to prove anything with ego. And as I moved through this, everyone, 20-something, 28 years later, here I am. I am a better version. And I no longer have to prove myself to anyone or to humanity. So then I realized Black America and White America are going through the same things. But then the genesis of me traveling with the hurt, Fujian, is that I have not reduced the energy of attachment to my stories. So one is, I accept what has happened to me. It had to happen to me. It's written in my script. But the question is, how do I reduce the energy of attachment from the way I interpret my story? And so then my question about how to remove the hurt from the heart, as I asked you to give me some answers as well, is that I have to turn up the volume on soul conscious love, that I can reduce the sound of the attachment of the memories. And so I've been able to remove that hurt a lot more now. And I didn't even know, everyone, that I was even carrying it. But I began to realize it as I was talking about the past. I started to get emotional. So I went, oh my gosh, my hurt is still there about that specific issue. So then I went, well, I have to move this out of me. How am I going to get this hurt out of me? I don't need an apology. I don't need to let them know that I'm a better version than I was, you know, 40 years ago. I just have to get this out of me. And so I realized that I'm paying more attention to, I keep mentioning judgment to you because it's so big, and I'm not a very judgmental person, but I think as a Pisces, we attract a lot of critical people because of our power of empathy. And I find Piscean to be very, very empathetic people. But I've been noticing that it gives a lot of pain to people who judge you, but also subtly if you begin to judge people in your mind. And I go, no, this isn't love. This is attachment. So that's going to feed my hurt that's already sitting there. So everyone, I really call you for this holiday season, please, in whatever way you can, take that hurt out so God's energy can work through you like an ocean. Because I think we have the capacity to reveal much more of our lives now than ever before.
Yes, and don't go anywhere because we want to listen to the new CD and the new track, and then we'll come back with Sister Jenna to talk also about the importance of self-realization, because what you were also talking about is you have to have that type of a realization in order to look inside and not just act out everything. And that realization is going to support us. So everyone, just listen to Dr. Sister Jenna, we're going to listen to her latest CD and come back and have our conversation again. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Hang in there.
Om Shanti. Assalamu alaikum. Wahe Guru. Jai Shri Krishna. Hello. These meditations that I've designed are to take you on a journey of your inner world. And as you enter the many rooms of thoughts, you will enter parts of you that you cherish, maybe regret, love, or might even be afraid of. But it is this inner journey that we must all take to find solutions, clarity, love, power, and freedom. We are in the midst of complex times, and we will need to be honest, clear, strong, and intuitively aligned so we can make decisions that support our goodness and wisdom. The energy of the divine is always with us, and when we consciously invite love, peace, power, and wisdom into our thinking, we offer the return of the image we were made in. Love personified. We all are peaceful, pure, blissful, loving, and wise human beings. Throughout our journey, we got a little tainted. Hence, the attachment to stories slipped in. These meditations, I hope, will enable you to remember how pure you are, how clean your heart is, and how powerfully your life is on this planet. Enjoy, everyone, and thank you so much for choosing these meditations. Take good care of yourself and stay illuminated. Om Shanti.
Stay illuminated. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That whole CD is like a book.
Yeah.
So it's like you can't listen just to one track because it takes you on a journey of five different stages of awareness that we go through, whether it's the dark night of the soul or the time of innocence or when you're most courageous. But one of the interesting room aspects of the meditation is that every room you enter, which is where I take you in the portal of your mind, there's God's light sitting there available for you if you choose to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one room, which is the last track before you hear music from Paul Leftenegger. He's contributed one of his track, and yes. Kristen Hoffman. But in the last room, it is just the room of God's light. Mm-hmm. And in a way, the soul resists walking in this room, because once it walks in the room, it's letting go of all the stories.
Yeah.
And so finally, you develop the courage to walk in the room of God's light and just let him refill you back so that you can really fully live a full life. You know, so that's what the meditation CD is about. Album.
That's beautiful. Yeah. You've talked about neglecting the inner being as there's a part of us, which we talked a little bit about, the healing of the wounds that are there mm-hmm. and the hearts that are there. But beside the healing of that, I think there's also there's a distraction. Like, I've done a lot of work on myself in order to let go and release a lot of the hurt, the traumas, the woundings that I've had. As someone who was abused, as someone who was an immigrant, everything. But there's also this concept of just the world wanting to become a successful person going forward consistently. There's distractions. There's, the concept of just going forward and act without necessarily being with you, with me. Mm-hmm. So there's a price that we pay. I know I've certainly paid it, and I'm still paying as much as I'm not necessarily coming and doing this every day of sitting with myself and, you know, sitting in that space and looking at my inner being. The neglect of that, we pay high price.
Yeah. And, you know, what I like about the teachings of the Brahma Kumaris Raja Yoga is that it offers you a foundational tool. I know people tend to gawk when they hear we wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and we listen to a class every day at 6 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, we practice vegetarianism and we're always in service. But without that, we wouldn't have been able to optimize being so integrating, you know, our lives as the way that we do in the world. And so what's absolutely going on is that learning how to integrate everything right now. And that's helping us to really. There's Lou.
Hi.
Thank you. So, Lou, you want to say hi to my friends at Inner Voice Television? Say hi. Can you see them?
Yes.
All right.
Hi, hi, Lou.
Lou John, say hello. It's Lou Gossett.
Hi. Oh, my God. Hi. It is so nice to have you via telephone on my show.
It's so good to see you. And you have a very warm and wonderful and successful holiday.
Yay.
Enjoy.
Thank you. Thank you. I wish the best for you. All that just life can bring in the most joyous way.
We're all the light bringers. So we need more of us.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
All right, so I'll call you when I'm done. You have to be on the Fujian show. Much love. Bye.
Please. Oh, you call me.
I will.
Bye.
Like I was telling you, I wanted him to say hello to you.
It's so exciting.
Yeah, I love it. And again, this is what I mean. My friendships mean so much to me. And I'm very natural. And I think we need to have that level of honesty with ourselves and with each other so that there's more trust in the environment. And so I think where it comes on to, we're not intentionally holding on to the hurt, but we've gotten so accustomed to it that it's actually holding back our potential and our capacity. So there's nothing wrong with optimizing your game, everyone. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be a success, but there is something wrong with it if you're doing it from an algae consciousness, or if it's hurting other people, or if it's not making you a charitable person. So I feel that if we get everything that we've ever wanted, life is just going to be such a bore. So enjoy the fact that you're still inspired to get up and to move forward. When you find yourself pushing, I know it's a very, celebrity conscious time that we're in. Everybody wants to be seen. Everybody's on FaceTime, Facebook, Face Me, Face That, right? And that's okay. But what the most important thing is, are you living your life with meaning and purpose? And so if it's done on FaceTime, if it's done on Skype, if it's done on WKMET, then just fall into that quality, because you're driven to share your purpose. And if you turn out to be a great, famous person, wonderful. But don't you ever forget, it's the way that you're treating the people in your immediate environment that is your success. And that's your celebrity status, when people can say, gosh, she's so good. Mm-hmm. She's such a good person. And to recognize that that vibration is also spreading and rippling out into the world. So let us kind of prioritize what is success, what is fame. I think we all have our fame in our own environments. And this liking a million likes and that, I think all of that's going to come to a close at some point. We're going to actually start to return to the valuing of the people in our immediate circles.
It's nice to actually get the 1,000 likes, but in human-to-human experience versus just the virtual concept of people not knowing us and then just requesting their likes. Mm-hmm. There is a validity that we get from humanity out there, and it'd be nice to also add the human-to-human concept. Right. I remember last week we talked on the phone, and when you called, it was more of, I've decided instead of just texting and connecting via words to also, you know, let's connect over voice again, or let's connect over FaceTime and see each other's face, even if we're not. And if we are in the same city, let's connect, you know, every so often to like human to human experience again. And as I put the phone down with you, and I thought, that is so true. We've gotten so used to this concept of just, you know, like, effortless connection versus really putting some joyous effort into being with each other. We only have 1 minute left, and just want to wish you best, and I truly thank you for coming on the show. I know it's Christmas Eve, it was so important for me. You are the only one I asked, and maybe people say, well, this is Christmas, and you're supposed to talk about Christ and Christmas and all of that, but to me, we got to talk about generosity, love, peace, for people who are Christian, for people who are at every kind of religious and belief system, to talk about love and peace, and you are the representation of love and peace to me. So it's so important for you to be on the show, and thank you for that you accept it. And in this couple of seconds that we have left, please, 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 please give your essence to everyone.
Everyone, because of Christ, we are able to have a day like this today.
Yes.
So sometimes you don't have to mention specifically the genesis of the person, but the whole reality of what the person has created is here. Yeah. So we're able to do a show like that because of Christmas. And so with all the faiths, traditions, whether you're from Islam or Christianity or Judaism or Hindu, it's my pure feeling that we really end this year by no more three C's, by not taking the vitamin C's of criticism, comparison, and complaining anymore with anyone, and to reduce your energy of judgment on one another, because we need more empathy in the world in order to make 2019 and beyond the best way to live. And Fujan, you're my soul sister. Mm-hmm. I love you. And thanks to the team and the staff at WKMET. You guys are doing great work. It's been wonderful.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sean. Merry Christmas to you. And for everyone out there, happy holidays. Is enjoy every aspect of every minute of this life, because it really can be short. And who we have is just us human being and all the being around us. So happy holidays. Create an amazing life for yourself and everyone around you. Bye-bye.